Richard Bodeedle, where we understand that government is nothing more than a necessary evil, where our founding fathers ensured for the first time in human history freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association, and economic freedom. America is the only place specifically created and designed so every American, each individual, very important, can live their life in the manner they choose, unhindered by government or those who would use government to control others for either their comfort or their benefit. This show is convincingly conservative, lovingly logical, proudly patriotic, and reliably right. God is our focus and reason for being. Well, we've got so much to do today. And every day, the subjects, the topics, everything gets away from us. But I've been telling you, we're going to have Richard Bodeedle on today. And he's a treat for so many of us, and particularly for me. Bodeedle was basically a New York City super cop. One of the most decorated cops New York City has seen. Undercover detective. Solved some of the most high-profile crimes in city history. And then he went into private security and private investigations. He does that through Bodeedle and Associates. He's a frequent commentator. He is a Hollywood legend. There's a guy named Martin Scorsese that just happens to love Bodeedle, and Bo has been featured in either as himself, playing himself or otherwise, in movies that we've seen most recently in The Irishman, about which featured Joe Pesci as our own local Cosa Nostra boss, Russell Bufalino. So he's been around. And we're going to talk to him right now without further ado. Bo, welcome.
Hey, Bob. First of all, I love your introduction song. Just happens to be the old Bodeedle had gone out with Mr. Frank Sinatra many times for dinner. Last time I was in California with him, with his mother-in-law at Matty Mateo's restaurant in California, and we were singing till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And that song just brings back great memories to me. And Frank Sinatra was the man. That's all I got to say. And it was a time when we were proud. We were real proud to listen to Frank Sinatra, proud to be an American, and proud for what our country's all about. And then today we go into this void of where we have a George Floyd day where you got to kneel on your knees. First of all, nobody wanted to see Mr. Floyd die. The cop was convicted. He was said he's going to be sentenced a long time. That justice was done. Enough already. This was not an upstanding citizen arrested 9 times, including an armed robbery with a pregnant woman. On top of that, he was a drug dealer and a drug user. He had a lethal amount of fentanyl in his system, and now I got to go on my knees and act like he was a great American. How about my veterans, guys that I know, and cops with no legs, some their arms blown off, and they got to listen to this bull crap where we bow to this guy? I'll be damned if I go on one knee for George Floyd or anybody else. He was not an upstanding citizen in this country, so let's stop the bull crap.
Well, Bo, what... we're talking with Bodeedle. Bo, one of the things that is most disturbing for me, and I think for a lot of people, look, I look at George Floyd's face, and I'm in prison for 8.5 years. I know guys like him, and look, when he's not on a bad trip on drugs, he's fun. But this, they're making him into almost a Martin Luther King icon, and there's a lot of blacks that have spoken to me that just are not too pleased about this situation. He does not represent them. He does not represent their community, and basically what I see as we look back on it, Black Lives Matter, which was formed in 2013, was running out of gas. And they needed something to grab onto so they could be relevant again.
My whole life. When I was a Fox News contributor for 12 years, when I was doing Hannity and O'Reilly, I would bring up the murders in Chicago every year, approximately 500 murders every single year, and they weren't being killed by cops. You know, some of the numbers I always throw around, these are basic average numbers. Of the 15,000 people killed every year, 8,000 of them are black. And of those 8,000, 95% are killed by other blacks, including children and all that. Now, we'll talk about 4% of the population of America committing 60% of the murders. These are the facts. Black Lives Matter, you know what, Bob? I am very strong for Black Lives Matter. I'm strong for every life that's being killed in our black community. And where is the hell is the outrage? Where is this Al Sharpton? Now all I see, everybody involved with George Floyd have new suits on, Versace clothes. They got about $40 million. Where's the money to our veterans and to our cops that are seriously injured doing their jobs? And they give $40 million to his family. And they're walking around like this was they hit the lottery.
Bo, speaking of Al Sharpton, he's actually, I say this in a negative way, but he's my favorite race hustler. He's done so well. I remember in my day, before I went to prison, I'd see him in New York at all the best places. I mean, really played this like Stradivarius.
Well, I go back with Al. I used to call him the Fat Rat. When I was a detective, he was an informant to us. So I used to call him the Fat Rat. I know him very, very, very well. He sees me and he goes, "Oh, yeah, Bo, you and your Italian friends." My point is, he was a race-baiting rat from the beginning. Now everyone who wants to run for public office goes over and gives him money, gets on their knees and grovels to him. You know what? He's the greatest pimp of our lifetime. He's a pimp, and he uses racism as his hooker.
Yeah, and the other day I went through a list of all of the crimes, actually all of the police incidents, which created the Black Lives Matter momentum, the defund the police momentum, the reform the police momentum, and they're all untrue. And I don't know, have you ever run across Benjamin Crump, the attorney who's done so well off of all of this?
Well, he gets one third of all these activities. Mr. Crump is a rich man, and like I said, everyone in these race baiters are just reaping the harvest. Now it's gone with this critical race theory bullcrap. It's escaped into the federal government, into the FBI, into the military, into corporate America, and now this lie is a complete damn lie where you got to make an excuse and you got to be guilty because you're white. Do me a favor, kiss my butt.
And Bo, we're Italian. We're not white.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody forget. My mother was born in Sicily. I got 3% black. I did that 23andMe. So I guess I should get some reparations, no?
We're talking, Bob Cordaro talking with Bo Deedle. Bo, all right, you're an investigator, first and foremost. And you've watched crime for many years. One more question on this topic. The crime rates have skyrocketed since this entire George Floyd inspired Black Lives Matter movement has occurred, not only in cities where the police have been defunded, well, that's obvious, but throughout the country.
Very simple. Our Democratic cities, including that zombie-looking Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. She looks like a friggin' zombie there with her eyes popping out. Now she refuses to talk to any white reporters. That's disgusting. She's disgusting, and she has done nothing with all the violence against all our black communities there, all these children getting gunned down. She's an irresponsible fool. That's what she is, and she has the audacity to say, "I will not be interviewed by any white reporters." Really? Pop your eyes out there, Lori Lightfoot. You're ugly.
What? Off topic. Bo, but listen, the thing is this. Take Portland. Take Los Angeles. Take San Francisco. Take New York. Violent crime has spiked so virulently. It is dangerous on those streets. It's dangerous to be there.
because the police officers that are out there are afraid to do their job, because every time they do their job, it's not a pretty sight when someone's resisting arrest. Now they come up with these idiotic, moronic laws, even in New York City. I talk to cops every day, and what it is now, they've come out with a law with the city council where an officer, and that's one of my greatest techniques. I arrested thousands of people in headlocks. Grab them by the headlock, bring them to the ground. Nobody ever died. Bo Dietl never killed anybody. I was hospitalized 30 times, but now they came with that law. The next law they came up with is the diaphragm law. It means you can't climb on top of their back or their chest. And then we get even better is now they said that if you're a police officer, you can be sued civilly. They could take your house away. So why in the hell would cops do anything? That's why crime is soaring, because the animals that are on the street committing these crimes, getting right out, no bail. We have no bail for violent felonies. It's just a joke. So where is this going? It's only going to get so bad where the people, and I talk to community people, they want more cops. An old man was on a show I was on yesterday with Sid and Bernie, and he called up from the Bronx, 80-year-old African-American guy. He says, I'm so frightened to come out of my house. Gunshots, these gangs robbing everybody, smacking people around, motorcycles with no license plates. No one stopped. He says, I only look when I see a police car. That's when I feel comfortable to come out of my house. That's a damn shame what he said. Damn shame.
And that's his home. That's his home. That's not their home. That's his home. That's his neighborhood. All right, we're talking with Bo Dietl, famed cop, famed investigator. We're going to take a break, Bo. We're going to come back, and by popular request of a lot of our texters, and the fact that you mentioned Bernie and Sid, I want to talk a little bit about Don Imus, but I also want to talk about, Bo, this investigation that's being squelched regarding Hunter Biden and President Biden and all of those shenanigans that just keep coming to light, but nobody's letting us hear about it. Bo Dietl, are you with us, Bo?
I'm with you. Maybe your phone's a bug. I don't know what happened.
Well, Bo, we're not hiding anything.
One thing, I want an apartment in Webster Towers. I'm ready to move to Scranton, okay?
All right.
I like the way that commercial was.
It's like living in San Francisco in the hill section of Scranton. It really is.
Okay, so we talked about Goodfellas. It's just funny that my life has touched upon some of these movies I was in. Wolf of Wall Street, I played myself. So in Goodfellas, I lock up Henry Hill. And in reality, I arrested for two murders. Jimmy Burke was Jimmy Conway, that was played by Robert De Niro. So my life has really touched upon two of the biggest movies in reality. And then I worked trying to keep that little creep, Jordan Belfort, Wolf of Wall Street, from getting whacked by some wise guys that wanted to whack him. And it's just funny. I played my own part in that one, too. So it was fun.
Bo, Goodfellas was your first movie, though, right?
No. I think I played in Maniac Cop 1 and 2. I think they were...
Oh, speaking of, for all of our listeners... If you contact through investigations.com, Bo Dietl will, and give your information, Bo Dietl, for just the cost of shipping, will send you his book, One Tough Cop, an autographed copy of his book, One Tough Cop, investigations.com, and give your information how you want Bo to sign it. He'll autograph the book. They're soft cover books. And he will mail it to you at cost. They'll let you know what that cost is. They're still figuring it out. And they'll send it to you via One Tough, via the mail. But it's the book, One Tough Cop, about Bo Dietl, which was also made into a movie. And again, you could communicate through investigations.com. Bo, very quickly on this point, I met you through Don Imus when I put him on my radio station back in 93, and you had a long relationship with Don Imus, one of the greats of radio, and I think just a fantastic man, as volatile as he was.
Well, Don Imus and I go back to 86 when I retired from the police department. I was on his show, probably 35 years or more, and Don became a friend, and he was probably one of the greatest on the radio. Howard Stern copied him. Howard Stern was always jealous of Imus. Imus was never jealous of Howard Stern, and Howard Stern wouldn't put me on his show because I did Imus. I told him, you know what? I'm a loyal guy. Don was a very cankerous guy. He was very hard to get along with sometimes. I walked off his show, I think, 10 times over the years, and he called me back. I said, you can't talk to me like that. I don't care. My father's dead. My father was the only one that could talk to me like that, and no man's going to talk to me like that. And I said, I'm out of here. And he would call up. No, he'd have his wife, his lovely wife, would call up, who was a doll, and says, you know, Don's very upset. He's so sorry. I'm not a guy that keeps a grudge. And I love Don Imus. I wish he was still with us. And no matter all the inadequacies he had, his positive side of him overwhelmed everything. He was one of the greatest interviewers, one of the smartest guys without college education, and he was the man. As far as I'm concerned, I miss him. I miss him. He could make your interest on anything. He discussed any topic. He was one of the smartest guys I have ever met.
He was very good to me. And meeting you was just icing on the cake. All right, Bo, there's a situation going on with Hunter Biden's laptop, and I know you've been following it, and you have obviously some inside knowledge and otherwise. His laptop discloses a lot of problematic issues with Joe Biden and the Biden family using Joe Biden's office and stature to do international business deals. What do you know about that?
Okay, without getting into specifics, because the Daily Beast called me the other day, and I told him, I got nothing for you. I don't want to talk to the Daily Beast. I said, every time they put me in there, they twist what I say. When I was running for mayor, I was in my office 50 floors above the Penn Plaza, and I'm kidding around with someone I knew for 10 years, the reporter. I said, oh, look at that hooker in the harbor. She looks good. Kidding with the guy. And then the headline was, Bo calls the Statue of Liberty a hooker. This is the news media. How they twist it around. Now, as far as with Rudy, I was at the apartment, at his apartment. I saw the laptop. This laptop came from Delaware, from that computer store. I saw a lot of him in incriminating things. Now, the funny part of this whole thing is it was in Rudy's apartment when he hit with the search warrants. And then Rudy said, hey, these are Hunter's laptops. Do you want to take them? Oh, no, we don't want them. Now, why wouldn't you want them? Maybe there was evidence in them as far as with your investigation to Ukraine, to Russia, or whatever, which there is information in there to corroborate a lot of the stories. But for some reason, the FBI didn't want those laptops. Why? Why? Why didn't anyone? Why doesn't anyone want to see what's on those? Because it has connections with Biden and with his father right up the road. His father was working in. He was getting a certain amount of money out of different deals. I mean, but nobody wants to know about this. All they want to do is indict Donald Trump. You got this moron Cy Vance. He wants to indict Donald Trump before he leaves office. And you got Tisha James, she's going after Donald Trump. Everybody wants Donald Trump. They just can't fathom the idea that what he did was pretty damn good in the amount of time he was the president, with the overwhelming attack against him at every corner. He did pretty damn good. Look what we got now. We got a guy that doesn't even know where he is, what he's talking about. If you listen to some of the conversations, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking. If he can't read it, and remember, a couple of times, I can't answer that question. I could get in trouble.
He's not even reading a script very well. He can't even stay on a script. It's a little bit frightening. And this use of, I don't know what the end result was, and if the kid was using the father's, the father to get ahead, whatever, it's sleazy and all that. But the media is censoring this. The social media platforms are censoring this. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, like I said, I actually saw the laptop, and I don't want to get into his stuff, but there's definitely incriminating stuff in there that ties him to his dad and a lot of these things as far as with Russia and also with Ukraine. So I don't understand why if you really want to investigate this, let's investigate it. They only want to investigate one person, Donald Trump.
Yeah,
that's all they care about.
Cy Vance is, I've told our audience a number of times, Cy Vance is actually, he's a disgrace. He was the one who was trying to kibosh the Harvey Weinstein prosecution.
Yeah.
And then when the left went after him and women's groups went after him, he turned to the old thing, Donald Trump. Let me prosecute Donald Trump. That's how it all started.
That's all they care about. And, you know, with retrospect, the worst thing that ever happened was January 6th. And with the worst thing that could have happened to Americans that really believe in this country, because I was appalled myself. I don't believe people could react in that they're conservative or liberal or whatever you are. The actions of what I observed that day was horrible, and that's not what America is about. We're a country that we have stability, and we don't want any violence, whether you're Black Lives Matter or you're a complete right winger. I don't want violence in this country, and anyone that conducts violence is wrong. Simple.
Bo, we're going to be talking, Bob Cadaro talking with Bo Deedle. Bo, we're going to be talking, and I want to bring you back fairly soon to talk about this. We're going to try to focus on this San Jose incident and try to talk about solutions and other things as they're gathering the facts. And once we have a majority of the facts, we're going to call you back to talk about that and the issue of gun control and all that, because police have a slightly different view of gun control than your typical NRA member does. And I think it'd be good to have that perspective. Bo, I want to remind them again. Yeah, that problem is coming through the line again. But Bo, investigations.com is how they reach you in order to get an autographed copy of One Tough Cop. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. And the funny part is, it's a great book. It became a movie.
I love it.
But the movie has me killing 40 people, which I didn't do.
Okay. Well, they had to, I guess, exaggerate parts for dramatic effect. But One Tough Cop, the book about Bo Deedle's tenure with the New York City Police, investigations.com is the website, and Bo will autograph your copy. You give him the information and send you a copy for just the cost of postage. Bo, thank you so much for being with us, as always, and I hope we'll be able to talk next week on this San Jose and gun control issue and get it a little bit more in the people's mind, because it's a critical issue, and I think it's a mental health issue.
Thank you, Bob, and keep telling the facts and telling the truth, and God bless everybody over there in my Scranton area. You got a good man in Bob Cadaro. He's Bo Deedle's friend. Thank you.
All right, Bo, man. Bo Deedle with us.